Welcome to another episode of the Thrive Kombucha Podcast. I'm Elijah, the founder of Thrive Brew Kombucha Co., an up-and-coming kombucha brewery in downtown Lexington, Kentucky. At Thrive Brew, our mission is to brew clean, crushable kombucha to nourish you to thrive. This podcast is simply an extension of that mission where we reflect and share the ins and outs of the journey it's been building out a nourished kombucha community. If you find any value or enjoyment from this podcast, we would greatly appreciate it if you would leave a rating and a review on the platform you are listening to. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes that promote our favorite fermented beverage. Cheers. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode. Today, we're going to be talking all about how to introduce kombucha to others. What's going on, Trev?
I don't quite know how to answer that.
It's been a couple days.
I want to say it's been a week, but it's only been yesterday.
Couple days.
Yeah.
Things happened.
People
came through our doors that were not welcome.
Yes.
And left with things they were not welcome to leave with.
That were not their own. Oh, man.
Dude. Yesterday, we had an intruder come in. We were in the back. We didn't have the doors locked. And one of the amazing parts about that is that you and Trey always have the doors locked.
I know.
And I'm the bad one about it.
Yep.
I'm the one that always leaves them unlocked.
Well, you would always kind of harp on us a little bit for not being very open and inviting and welcoming to people that would pass by.
Literally.
So I think that's just going to be the case for a little bit.
Gosh. We left our doors unlocked like we normally do because we still have people that just come by the brewery, whether it's just like neighbors you know, people that think we're still open even though it's been a year. And just things of this sort. So we usually, you know, whenever I'm here, especially up front, but even just in general, I'll leave like
right
the doors open to kind of where the like our walk-in space is.
Mm-hmm.
Just so it's not this whole thing where you have to go up and unlock the door for people and everything. But yesterday we had an intruder. And
in the shortest amount of time.
Literally the amount, 20 seconds.
20 seconds. I ate lunch right at that table or right in the chair. I ate lunch there. I spent the entire time there. I was reading. I was taking my break and everything.
Yeah.
But for like maybe the minute and a half, I wasn't sitting there. That was when it happened.
This dude came by, looked in our shop, and we ended up finding neighbors' cameras to be able to kind of track down all this information. The last two days for me has been creating a log of every movement I can get of this freaking dude's like whereabouts from this camera on this building to that camera on that building.
Just imagine Elijah being a private detective, and that's exactly what it's
like.
That
was what it was.
That's
And he circled back, came in through our front doors, and just snagged. I mean, it was bad enough that he snagged your bag.
Yes.
He couldn't leave a man his tunic even.
I laughed. That gave me some comedic relief when I read that text, that response.
It's ridiculous.
Because I got in the car, and my wife, she was like, "Weren't you wearing your jacket?" And I was like, "Was I? Oh, yeah, I did come to work with a jacket, and I left without one." Yes. He also stole my jacket. He went back. He went back for the jacket.
He did. He, like, grabbed the bag, got 1 foot out the door, because I saw this on camera later on, and then came back in for the freaking jacket. Just, what a imbecile.
Ugh. It's all right.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. We're moving forward.
But it sucks.
Yeah.
We're moving forward begrudgingly. But we're still got a couple cameras that we're hoping we get a call on.
Yeah.
There's still a tinge of hope.
So lock your doors, people. Hide your kids. Hide your wife.
If you know, you know. So today...
2016 called or something like that.
This is just real life in a kombucha brewery. You know what I mean?
When you're in this neighborhood, yeah.
Seriously.
Anyway, yeah. It's, you know, it's part of it.
Part of life.
Yep. You know, when people you don't know how they're going to react, how they're going to respond to certain things. Sometimes they steal them. Sometimes they just walk by. And sometimes they think, wow, this is just way too vinegary. You know, you just never know how people respond to situations. Kind of like when you share kombucha with someone for the very first time.
That was smooth. That was smooth.
Thank you.
What a transition.
Thank you.
So we're going to be talking today. You know, it's coming into the holiday season when more gatherings are had, more interactions with those that we have close bonds with most generally, whether it's family or Friendsgivings or, you know, just holiday gatherings.
Yep.
And so at those holiday gatherings, there are going to be usually people bring something to those gatherings. And it's, you know, you'll have the traditional bottle of wine, a slab of gingerbread cookies, you know, for more of the Thanksgiving vibe, maybe a pie or things like this that you're going to bring in, a nice spirit of your choice, you know, to go along with those things, which are all dandy and great. And I love to see those things coming to the gatherings. But, you know, it's always nice if you can be the one that brings that one memorable thing, you know?
The showstopper, you mean?
Showstopper. At least the conversation starter.
Hey, there you go.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, let's say you're going to a holiday gathering and you're not super familiar with everyone, you know, and it's like, you just want to, you want to have that conversation piece to start, you know?
That mediator.
The mediator.
Subject
that gets the conversation flowing.
That's right.
And we're here to just provide a little, you know, a little dialogue about what that could look like, and hopefully maybe on the back end get some thoughts from y'all too.
So the way I have kind of formulated this for us to talk about is you know, because how do you share kombucha? Because you start a passion, you start getting developed in it, whether or not it's some that you've created or some that you've brought from the store or ordered, because we ship nationwide. But and you just wanted to share it with other people, you wanted to introduce people.
I
categorize it as you have friends and you have family, and then you have skeptics. You have people who want to stay very far away from it because Trey has mentioned, if you're going to talk to people about kombucha, do not let them Google it. Do not let them look up an image online and discover SCOBY pellicles. Do not, like, do not let them come into contact with that for a while. So we're kind of just going to talk about laying the ground floor. How do you have conversations about kombucha, or
to set people up for success?
Exactly. And, you know, we've talked about this before from a commercial side a while back, you know, because we talked about language. How do you communicate certain things? And what are the things to definitely not say in the context, you know, not to be deceptive, but to help help people become familiar with it for the have a category for it in their taste profile and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of in that same vein.
Absolutely. And like you said, we want to kind of ease past the skeptics.
Yes.
That's the goal.
Yes.
Cool.
So my first question will be, how did you start introducing kombucha to people when you were back in your home brewing phase? Were people already pretty familiar with it when you started
Wild
making
and uninformed.
It? Wild and uninformed.
That's how I introduced
That's
kombucha.
How you introduced it? What does that even
and
mean?
And I paid the consequence many a time.
Can you elaborate, please?
It was
and
just...
if you have a story, that'd be even better.
Unfortunately, not any crazy ones, but
oh, okay.
Lots of ones that kind of just conglomerate into general experiences. Mm. But, you know, I had fallen in love with kombucha, fermentation, some of the health properties of the beverage. And obviously, having it as extensive as a home setup as I had at the time, which, you know, even before we decided to ramp things up, I mean, we were brewing 5 5-gallon jars at a time.
Just for you guys.
Yeah. I mean, for us and like sharing with people, yeah. But no business orientation. Just, mm-hmm. I mean, that was our homebrew setup. So it was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Like kombucha was on the menu. And so obviously it was such a great passion of mine and I mean, Annie's as well, because she loved making it too in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And so it was just one of those things that we just like, that was what it was like, hey, we've got water and kombucha.
when Annie was introducing it to you, we've already gone through the story. Did she just say, keep trying it and just keep handing it to you? Or did she try to walk you through how to taste it at any point?
No, it was just more like, hey, we're walking through Whole Foods or local natural grocery or something like mm-hmm. that. Pretty much the only places that carried it around the places that we lived. And it was like, she would just pick one or a couple up, you know, while we were doing that. And then when we would be kind of after through the checkout line, she'd be like, here, try this, you know? This one's like one of my favorites or whatever.
Gotcha.
And it was just kind of one of those things to where it was such a jarring experience that we've already talked about this in the past, but I just didn't like it at all, you know, at the time. And she was to be fair, she was handing me all GT's bottles. So not necessarily your easiest on ramp type of a kombucha. So she had just kind of handed them to me, but it was one of those things to where it was so like riveting, the experience of it.
Mm.
It's one of those things that's like, you know, when you have like a toothache and all you want to do is touch it.
Yes. I know it all too well.
It's like, that was what it was like. It was like, she kept every time we'd go, here's some more, try this one. And it just was one of those things that's like, even if she probably wasn't asking me later on, I was like, let me try that. You know, it's just like, I just had to, because it was such a riveting experience.
Are you familiar with the kombucha girl meme?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Exactly. It's that way every single time, the way it seems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For most people.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was just kind of that trial.
Yeah.
Leading to liking it for me.
Yeah. But it was on the menu back at...
It was on the menu.
When you had people over.
Yeah.
We have water and we have kombucha.
Yeah, kombucha. And, you know, it was obviously this huge conversation started because we don't have a very large footprint type of a home. And so when you walked into our house, like, you were going to come into contact with this weird science project over there on like taking up an entire dining room table.
Yes.
So you were going to, as you walked from our small kitchen at the time into the living room space, you were going to walk by that and you were going to get that big waft of kombucha goodness.
And you're going to see all the shrunken heads and the pickled body parts in there and everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we were just slinging out batches and we had made multiple at the time, but one of the kind of most popular ones that I had actually, one of my most popular brews that the most people ended up loving. And when we first kind of began the business, it was one of the flavors we tried to keep, but I can go into that in a minute. But basically, it was a pomegranate. It was just straight pomegranate.
Oh, yeah.
And it was by far the most popular flavor out of all people that were trying all the various brews that we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we had to let it go at the time because pomegranate, and when we set our ideal of fresh, like that's an important ideal to us, is to be able to
take the whole ingredient, whatever that is, as unprocessed as possible, and then infuse that into the brews. Like when that became a ideal to us, I was using mostly just pre-juiced things at the time.
Yeah.
So pomegranates don't grow year round, at least in this area.
No.
In Kentucky. And so you can't even really source them in without having to break that ideal, basically, to break that value. And so, but that was one that a lot of people ended up loving because it had just, the pomegranate has such a strong flavor profile. And back then I really wasn't worried about any sort of cost function.
Right, yeah.
It was just to taste and to enjoyment. Mm-hmm. So definitely would not have been a strong business plan to have tried to keep the same ratios and keep like a pomegranate only type of a flavor, because I mean, if y'all have never checked it out, I mean, pomegranates are not on the cheap end of the spectrum.
No, they are not. They're also not very fun to process. And just thinking about, you know, what we're producing right now to try to match that ratio for pomegranate juice. Oh my goodness.
We wouldn't do anything else.
No. We'd be a one flavor kind of company.
Literally. So yeah, but that was a great one. And it's kind of interesting talking about holidays, introducing kombucha to people. Pomegranate based ones are pretty awesome in this time of year. Cause like pomegranates are kind of associated with the holidays. That's the time of the year that they start coming in, that they start getting showing up on your store shelves, even if you live far from where they're actually grown. And so, yeah, we'll talk more about that soon.
Yeah. So would you say that like choosing the right kind of kombucha flavor to introduce to people is a big part of it?
Yeah, I think so. So when you're talking about first introducing, The best thing to always remember is that once you've developed your palate towards something, it's like you kind of tend to keep going down that road. Like if it's like a bitterness element, it's like, okay, let's talk about it with coffee because that's like one of the most consumed beverages on planet Earth. It's like most people, the first time they come into contact with coffee, it's like you don't just put black coffee in front of them if they've never had any. You'd normally, I mean, Trevor's like glaring at me through his eyes right now.
Well, I'm just thinking like, yeah, I mean, like you wouldn't if your coffee's horrible. But, if, you know,
most people
have some of my coffee and you'd be like, wait, this is that coffee? And just like, yeah, tastes like strawberries, doesn't it?
Sour strawberries. Disgusting.
No, delicious.
But most people, it's like to get past that initial bitterness that comes from even the best brewed coffee, there's still like this little bit of bitterness that comes with it. And it's like things like cream or some sort of a slight sweetener can mute the bitterness element to get you to the flavors a little bit.
Yeah.
In the very beginning. For beer drinkers out there, it's like if someone's never tried a beer before, the last thing you want to do is hand them a double IPA. Unless you really just don't want them to like beer. So.
Yeah, don't start with the very niche forms of it.
Yeah, and start with like, you know, from like our flavors. It's like one that we often try to point towards people is like we make our flavor the blush. Our blush flavor is, I mean, although I still greatly enjoy it now, it's kind of crafted to be the opposite end of like our Kentucky Mule. Our Kentucky Mule is very vibrant, very fresh, has that ginger kind of spiciness to it.
Yeah.
It's got a little bit of that astringency, a little bit to it. The blush is like the opposite end of that spectrum. It's just fruited and vanilla softening on the back end of the usual kind of like back of your teeth, like beginning of your throat, kind of tang that you usually get back there.
Yeah.
The vanilla kind of tones that down just a little bit and just kind of gives you a smooth finish. But so that, like a flavor like that or something similar with like the, our blush flavors with strawberry, pineapple, and vanilla. And it's like a flavor like that is a great one to introduce for your first time to people that maybe aren't as used to naturally raw fermented foods and beverages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you're wanting to introduce people to like to your own, if you're going to make your own and you want to bring that, probably shoot for a sweeter, something that's a little bit on the sweeter. Because also, I guess, kind of like know your audience, know that if they're more prone to very sweet and sugary things, you don't want to offer them something that's very, very different. That's going to be offensive to that palate.
Yeah,
already.
Something that doesn't make you ever want to dip your toes back in the water.
Yes.
Yeah, like you said, you got to know your audience. Like if you're in a, if you're going into a holiday gathering that's filled with, or Friendsgiving, that's all your foodie friends who just love trying new things. It's like, yeah, bring that little more nuanced, you know, one that has, that you've put in place great aromatics or, you know, has something fresh, like, mint or the various like hopped ones or things like this have these great aromatics, and then maybe some sort of a sweet middle, and then with like a good spicy finish or something like that. But talking about holiday gathering specifically, you know, one thing that we've said on the podcast before is one of the most like perfect pairing type of flavors with just like original batch kombucha are the fall winter flavors, in my opinion, because at least our culture has a natural apple cider kind of bent to it.
Yeah,
and most do from the specific acids that are developed in the kombucha brewing process.
If
naturally fermented kombucha,
yeah,
which
right.
we're going to get into.
Yeah.
And so anything that pairs with apples cider is like ultimate pairing. Not that we don't create all kinds of crazy off the wall things, but we're a little thoughtful in the amounts of the different starters and things that we put in there because of that. But like all the spices, we're talking cinnamons, cloves, and various things like that go so good just with the natural kombucha that I feel like some of the fall ones are just some of the best times to introduce people to things.
Well, I think that makes a lot of sense too, because, you know, people are already oriented towards wanting to have those kinds of experiences. And if kombucha can add to something they're already desiring, it's just a perfect blend. So I think that makes a lot of sense too, specifically if it's going to be a fall or a holiday, you know, kind of theme,
yeah.
Experience, to just lean into that even more so with the kombucha and let that be a thing that's, how you're introducing it to them. Cause now they have a seasonal sort of association to it. That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense.
The other cool aspect of introducing kombucha, and like I always say, you don't want to overload people with info. Up like nutritional info up front, especially when you're like holiday gatherings. That's usually the times people are like letting loose and like, you know, just going for it.
Yeah, don't let guilt be the thing that they're now associating with kombucha.
But there is like one of mine and Annie's favorite. I mean, we'll even make like just dinner meals out of this multiple times. One of our favorite things ever to do are like cheese and meat boards. You know, just cheese boards with a few different cheeses, maybe a few like dried meats, nuts, fruits, things like that. Blah blah blah.
Do you have a favorite cheese
boards? Yeah.
What's your favorite cheese?
Without a moment of hesitation, Parmesan Reggiano.
Oh, come on, man.
Dude.
Yes.
Best cheese in the world. When I worked
so
at Whole
versatile.
I worked in Whole Foods for about 6 months in the cheese department. Got the chance to actually help do a couple cracks on them. On the cheese. If you've never seen a Parm crack, it's it's a work of art.
Yeah.
Breaking that kingly cheese down. But anyways, the heart of the Parmesan Reggiano wheel is one of top five favorite mouth pleasures I've ever had.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I accidentally mixed a Parmigiano and a Pecorino for Rachel one time. So I was like, oh, this one's really good. And it was the Pecorino. So it's like weirdly fruity, but yeah. It has that deep like spice, that peppercorn spice thing. She was like, this, something's wrong here. it was one of her least favorite experiences.
Oh man.
But I love that cheese. I love, it's still really, really interesting.
Yeah. Anyways, that's one of our favorite things to do.
Yeah.
And we do it outside of just the holidays. But obviously we have a bias bent towards kombucha, mm-hmm. but I've never found anything better than wine that goes with that than kombucha. Mm-hmm. Kombucha lends itself so great to that type of a scenario. Of like cheese and meat board. It's just something about the acidity goes so great
against
super rich cheeses, meats, olives, all these things. And then you get this like cleansing acid effect from the kombucha that is just phenomenal.
That makes sense. Yeah. Cause I mean, that's what I would always use grapes and strawberries for.
There you go.
And apple slices to kind of cut through some of those things. But,
exactly.
But, the kombucha to
and the thing
too,
is like know? That's another I mean kombucha pairs so great with fresh fruit
absolutely
and all those types of flavors. And so honestly, when you're going to these gatherings, if there's cheese and meat board action, hors d'oeuvre type action going on, a little kombucha during that section is like my favorite time to consume it. For the actual taste profile of it, how it goes, and the cleansing back and forth effect, but also nutritionally. When we're going to these holiday gatherings, usually we're leaving pretty fat and happy. At least
you're at least one of
you
those.
Better. You should be. It's it's the time to. It's all the favorite foods. You know,
yeah,
it's just so much. I mean, that's why. Dry January and get our acts back together in January is a thing.
Yes.
But kombucha at the beginning of a meal, I would say two quick nutritional things. First off, flooding your gut with some good living, healthy bacterias just helps with the digestional flow of the evening. I mean, obviously along with as well, but even in the beginning, just getting that nice hit of some kombucha in the beginning to help you start to break down this insane plethora of food that you're about ready to shove down your gullet is just such a nice setup for yourself that can be a pleasurable experience. It's not like crazy people, like what I'll do at times is like right before I'll eat dessert, I'll drink a glass of water with, a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar in it, you don't have to be the wild crazy person like me, but like a kombucha can help so much with that. Mm-hmm. The other amazing thing is the actual acids that are in kombucha. Crazily. Acetic acid specifically, but some of the other ones as well, are known to decrease blood sugar spikes in your system by up to 30%. So, if you're going into lots of sugar-based things that you're going to be having for the evening, and you have something with some nice, some nice acid in it, mm-hmm. it can help your blood sugar spike to not create that whole, like, huge spike and then drop off, and I'm like, I need to go find a bed.
Yeah, avoid the crash.
Yeah, the crash.
Yeah.
And so kombucha can be something that really helps you in those type of endeavors. So that's why it's so good at the beginning of a meal. Mm-hmm. And
I didn't know that. I didn't know it helped with the blood sugar spikes.
Specifically the acids that are in it. Yeah. There's been studies, not on kombucha specifically, but on taking in vinegar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Taking in, small amounts of vinegar before like some sort of a meal. Mm-hmm. And it can, yeah, up to 30%, which is pretty amazing.
Wow.
So there's a couple of reasons and scenarios where I think kombucha goes the best, because it is such an interesting thing. And it's like most people will be consuming alcohols and things like that, especially as evenings go on. But in the beginning, there's always like this spot for like the interesting thing. And in that type of like a cheese board setting, I feel like it's just an awesome fit.
Yeah. So we have, we've talked about like the best types to introduce, the best scenario, like best time frame probably to go about it. You've already kind of mentioned a couple of things about, you know, how to orient a conversation and use it for that. Can you talk a little bit about like what are some things probably to avoid or things not to maybe start the conversation with, anything like that? I'm just thinking, for me personally, like going back to or like working the tap room, figuring out like what the best like starting pitch would be. It would depend on a lot of previous notions.
Yeah.
So I just didn't know if you had anything you'd like to say about, you know, maybe stay away from a health focus until they bring it up or something like that, because they'll probably say, oh, yeah, I hear it's good for your gut or something like that.
Yeah. I always try to stick more to the experience and then flush the health properties as you're going along, if you want to even do that.
Like you literally just did.
Exactly. And I think the problems can be, I think the main thing is just, if you're excited about it, just excitement just floods out into other people.
Just have a good time.
Yeah, just have a good time with it. Bring something that you legitimately love, not that you're trying to make a show. It's like, hey,
that's a good point.
Something you legitimately love. And
yeah, because you're sharing, not forcing it onto other people. Yeah.
The other thing before I forget, my brain is the size of a pea, so I will, is that another awesome thing you can do with kombucha is we're going to get into this more next week, but you can easily mix some nice holiday cocktails. Like if someone's like, hey, I don't know about that. It's like, hey, you know, sometimes for certain people, alcohol can be the persuading factor. And to be able to get someone to try that, just like the cream in the coffee type of idea.
Yeah.
Just like, hey, if it's a kind of a fall or holiday based one, like a nice pour of like bourbon into most of them, will just be so warming and delicious with all those types of flavors.
It's the only thing I want in there anyway.
I know.
So.
You put those, like, you get that, like, you were just, you should tell the people what you were just sipping on.
So we have is this available yet? We're going to make it available.
It'll be when this drops.
Yeah. The Figgy Pea, Figgy Pear.
Oh yeah.
We call it Figgy Pea.
Figgy Pea.
But, fig, pear, cloves, what else is in there?
That's it.
Is that it? It's so good. Cause you guys have talked about this a lot. I think I had a little bit of it last year, but it was gone before I could actually enjoy it. But yeah, between, at the figs and the pears have this great sweet and acidity.
Yeah.
And then you have those cloves that give it that warming kind of bittering effect. And, what I was saying is like, oh, I want to put, but I always say this. I say this about every single one, that I want to put bourbon in it.
Those are just the flavors that you love.
Those are the flavors that I love. It genuinely is. But
all the apple cider.
The apple cider. Ones. But it's also like the heat from the cloves. I want to accentuate that element.
Just warm that up.
Exactly. But it's so good.
It's one of my all-time top five favorite flavors that we've ever create. I just love figs and cloves so much.
It's such a good like November flavor, because it's like, all right, we're exiting October, we're moving into December, but we're not quite into the holiday flavors yet.
Exactly.
It's mediating that space really well.
It does.
It's good.
It gets you, it like transitions you from like apple cider everything. Which I'm all about, and I go all in.
Yeah.
I drink my weight, if not more, in Evan Cider, and I'm still drinking it.
Yep.
But it's like, this is a nice kind of like, hey, we're still in fall. We're not holidaying yet, but we're not apple cidering.
And we just canned our last round of Evan cider.
Oh, man. Yep.
Last round.
Last round for the year, baby. We still got some of those experiences available too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We got some available. yeah, and we got something else pretty exciting that's going to be dropping.
Cooking.
Pretty soon.
Yeah.
Maybe by the time this is out. Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll link it if it is.
Yeah.
But we got some cool holiday stuff coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So stay tuned.
Yeah.
For that. But yeah, like a little, going back to what we were talking about, just mixing a nice little cocktail could be a great gateway. You know, bring a nice bottle of bourbon and your favorite kombuchas that you think would pair nicely.
Yeah.
Mix up some drinks for people at the beginning of the session. That's just a great way to kind of introduce it.
That's, yeah, that's another great way.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well,
anything else?
No, I think this is good. It's a good way to kind of, you know, think about how to introduce it to people. And because I can imagine you're so passionate and you have all of this like wealth of information and excitement about it. Sometimes need help finding the right channels, the right parameters to create an experience for other people. And just thought it'd be a good one to think about for people going into their holidays and wanting to share something that they've been enjoying.
The last thing I should say is that one thing for underage people is if you're going to have underage people like family gatherings and things like this, sometimes when all the adults and young adults that have just passed, you know, drinking age are sitting around with glasses of wine and, you know, pours of bourbon and things, it's like, hey, if you're like 19 or 20, that person doesn't want a Coca-Cola. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's just nice to be able to give them a nice glassware.
Also, just don't give them a Coca-Cola because Coca-Cola
sucks,
ruining everything. So.
They ruin everything.
This is not the official position of the company. This is just us.
It's just personal.
Us personally.
But just being
able to join our Patreon for more.
More hot takes. So being able to just put a nice piece of glassware and a beautiful kombucha, like this new special one that we coming out soon. Y'all. Just pouring that into a nice glassware. It would just like, that would create a special thing for them.
Or the cold killer.
Dude. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Experientially.
Yeah. Just drinking this jet black thing.
Yeah.
Come
it's
on.
Pretty awesome.
What kid doesn't want that?
Yeah. Just giving them, just thinking about that group of people, it's like another cool way that you can give them kind of a special experience.
And include them.
Include them. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's a good point.
Yeah. In the gathering. So.
Yeah.
Anyhow, we're going to wrap this bad boy up, but we're going to be taking it, moving the conversation over the Patreon after this. We got a hot take. And we're going to be talking all about dead acid booch versus raw naturally fermented kombucha. And we're going to let the cat out of the bag. We're going to pull the curtain back on one of the dirty little secrets of this industry. And we ain't going to pull any punches.
No.
Yeah.
No, so, we got feelings.
So, if you're interested in hearing more about that conversation and entering into the conversation, we always have comment sections where we go back and forth on the various topics that we're talking about. Hit us up down on the Patreon for the cost of a one packaged product of kombucha a month. You can enter into that back kind of a talk session with special deals once a month, be entered in to win a package of our kombucha shipped right to your door if you live in the U.S. So it's a pretty cool thing. It's a way that you can help support this podcast in a way that we can keep it going. So another free way that you can do to help this podcast is just leave us a little 5-star review. It really helps. It helps us spread the love. It moves us up in the ratings to where we can talk more and more about all of our favorite fermented drink. If you want to be entered in to win that free A pack of kombucha once a month, we're picking a random winner out of our Patreon people. Hit up the link down in the description. We got nationwide shipping of all of our products, even our test batches. We also have a crazy deal going on right now.
Yes, we do.
Check out our Instagram, one of our previous reels. Check it out. We distribute regionally. Check the map feature down in the description. If you have any further questions, email them to info@thrivebrewco.com. As always, we appreciate each and every one of you who take the time to listen to this podcast, and especially those of you who reach out to us, leave the reviews. We read them all. It means the world, and we love trying to further the world of raw fermented kombucha. Cheers, y'all.